Sky FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The manager of the Sky FM helpline, Robin Selker, she's joining us on the line. And the reason that I want to chat to Robin is because there's certainly been, apparently been an uptick on suicide callers on the Sky FM helpline. And this type of thing is very, very concerning and very important for us to talk about. Robin, a very good morning. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us this morning.
Good morning, Howard. Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, Howard. Good morning to your listeners, too.
So just to give us some kind of a context, what does an uptick in calls mean to the helpline?
Okay. Howard, you know, I know you love statistics from your Sunday podcast show that you do. So that's exactly where I'm going to start. And that'll give you a good insight into it. You know, the helpline works on the basis that we've been doing both inner and outbound calls. Outbound, where we reach out to the elderly and people in need, and inbound, where callers who are in distress phone us. So I'm just going to give you 3 months statistics so far, just to give you a background and an idea of what we mean and how this has changed around. Whereas in August, 35% of our calls were inbound. That means people in distress calling into us, and the remaining 65% outbound. September, we jumped to 44% being inbound and the remaining 56% being outbound. This month in October so far, we've seen 64% inbound and 36% outbound, meaning that our numbers between August and October have virtually been reversed in terms of people in serious trouble needing us.
Right.
And the figures have swapped around, if that gives you some context.
Yeah.
Also, another statistic I took out yesterday was that 59% of our callers this month so far have been classified as being in the categories of moderately severe, very severe, life-threatening, okay, which are the three top categories. This is a huge percentage of the calls that we are receiving. This weekend alone, to give you a context, Shabbos is normally supposed to be the day of rest, right?
Mm-hmm.
This week, during Shabbos alone, I was manning the Shabbos ship from when Shabbos came in till afterwards.
Right.
15 calls, of which 13 were suicide calls. Howard.
13 suicide calls in one day over Shabbos.
On Shabbos, okay, that gives you a context. And it continued into Shabbos night and on Sunday, but not at that high peak level that we hit on Shabbos. I was trying to look at what the trends were.
I wanted to ask you that. If you take those 13, obviously, and confidentiality is absolutely key.
No, I won't ever talk about any individual cases.
Sure, but were they younger people, older, younger,
yes,
older?
We found, actually, interesting statistics. A lot of younger people this weekend. A lot of people who had access to the internet, which is generally, or use the internet, like their, soulmate. Those kind of people and a lot of students. A lot of students.
Do you think it's exam pressure?
Examinations.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the examinations this year could have been the tipping point for many. There'd been, learners in matric. And I know, I can just, with Edward, doesn't give away anybody's identity, but 5 out of the callers we had were people in their final year, highly educated people, under so much pressure and stress because of what their learning had looked like during the course of the year with COVID, and just not, you know, the end was so much within their grasp, but they felt the inability to actually carry on and actually see it through to a conclusion. And they thought at this stage, you can imagine studying for a degree for 7 years and then you got your last final exams and you say, I can't do it and I'm out of here.
I'm absolutely shocked by what you are saying. And I would imagine our listeners are too. For the helpline to receive 15 calls over Shabbat, 13 of them being suicides and a lot of them being final year students and matrics, that tells a very, very serious story, doesn't it?
Yes, I think it really talks to how disrupted these young people's lives have really been in this year. You know, people have tried to shelter and protect. A lot of the students who called from rezes around the country.
Right.
So they've been living also in a close group of people who are on top of each other and probably driving each other crazy.
Yeah.
And I think one's fear is probably feeding the other. So the circumstances created by COVID have, I think, in part contributed seriously to this. But Howard, it's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah.
In that, me as like a mediocre counselor thinks that she managed to contain and all of these cases, some of which were very severe with people as far as having the rope in their house and having and looking at the rat poisons.
Oh my word. What do you advise maybe parents if they, what are the signs maybe to look for in maybe one of their kids in somebody that they're close to, to get help? Because obviously the best thing is the person reaching out directly, but sometimes they aren't able.
That was also a big trend, Howard, this weekend as well. We had people phoning in for one another. It would normally be, in this case, friends phoning in at university for a friend. It would be somebody who's in close proximity to them. We had sisters reaching out for brothers reaching out for sisters this weekend as well, and calling into the helpline when they saw that the person was making statements like, I just can't anymore, it's too much for me, it's not worth it, it's too hard, I can't do this. And then if people come up and already talking about and have made a plan of how they're going to end their lives, then you know that this is the suicidal ideation has gone quite far, and they already are really, really going to do it. The other quick category I'll mention is the males, middle-aged males who financially have been hit hard by not having sufficient work or income, are in a very bad way. So it's those two categories with two of the main two groups that cropped up over this week. And that people become withdrawn. They don't want to speak. Or otherwise they become all of a sudden from being a depressed kind of person that's lousy to have around, just like so okay and so all right. And that should be a very big warning sign. If they're not on medication and they're not being assisted. You can tell when the moods of the people around you change, withdrawn.
So I think that's probably the thing to do is not sleeping.
When we
study body language and we look at people to tell if they're lying or not. I mean, I know it sounds like I'm off track completely, but what we do is you establish a baseline. In other words, you chat to them and ask them questions, that are normal questions. What is your name? And is it this? And you go and you, therefore you kind of get a sense of what that baseline is. How much eye contact do they make with you? 30%, 20%, whatever. And then when you start asking the pointed questions, you can see if there's a change. So baselines are so important in all of our behavior. You can't measure one person off another person. And I think what you're saying is look for know your loved one's baseline. And if something changes, in other words, if a quiet person is always quiet, don't worry that they're quiet. But if you see a change off that baseline, that's when perhaps you need to start to seek help.
Correct. And when people also aren't sleeping, their patterns change, as you say, move from their baseline. They're not eating. They're not coming to the table anymore for meals. They're not sleeping. They're complaining of insomnia. that often goes very hand in hand with getting to a stage of making different decisions about where they want to go or not go.
How do people get hold of you?
They call us on the helpline 24/7, toll free 0800 242436. Howard, I have to tell you, we got such a lovely letter that came in from one of our counselors this week where she had helped somebody, and they wrote back and said to her, and I'm going to just paraphrase briefly because I know time's an issue. They said, "Dear so-and-so, I can't begin to express my gratitude to you. You were there for me in my deepest, darkest hour. Had you not been there and not taken my call when I was having that breakdown, I simply don't know where I'd be or if I would be today. You're an angel in my time of light, and you were my light in the, an angel in the time of my darkness. And I hear a big thank you and a shout out to all our volunteers. You do deal with this and do such great work. And, yeah, we try to make the world a better place because that's what Chai FM does. Thank you.
Absolutely right. Absolutely fantastic. Unbelievable conversation. I'd love your thoughts on 34519 or 061-895-1019. That is Robin Selko from the Chai FM helpline.